This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Ready! World class! Do not scratch your eyes!
This is the beautiful game described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. Words that I usually say and give no thought to, but today I don't feel as happy. Hello, I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
And I don't know when you're listening to this, but I want to be clear, we are recording this before any like election stuff is happening. So that statement has nothing to do with whatever has happened by the time you're listening to this. I just want to be very clear on that. All I'm
what
referencing.
Election? What election?
Who knows? Bolivia.
Yeah.
They're having a huge election in Bolivia this year. No, obviously, I think you can sense that the mood of the podcast is a little different because maybe aware that we often discuss soccer on this podcast that involves a team from Columbus called the Crew. And you and I had hopes, Beam, that this was a team that was going to defend MLS Cup. And I got to tell you, I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen either. I think that those opportunities are now dead.
I think it's mathematically impossible, as the kids like to say. So
yeah, that was tough. And I know that you were coaching your daughter's basketball tryout. Was it tryout?
It was like tryouts for the league, and so they have the coaches evaluate. And so anyway,
that was a much better situation that you were in. Actually.
I was in a basketball gym for like 2 hours. My buddy also coaches, so afterwards we went and got wings. And said, let's do that. And just kind of, we hadn't got to hang out for a while, so we did that too. So it was Sunday night, little Sunday scaries, get those out of the way. Mm-hmm. So we went to the B-dubs, sit down, order our food and drink, pull the phone out. I look and I go, well, I guess that's all she wrote.
Yep.
I didn't see a second of it. And then I saw the result. I saw it was tied. And then I saw the Crew's tweet that said, we, have ended our run or our title defense is over or some whatever they said. And I was just like, okay. So then I saw it was 2-2 and I was like, of course we lost on penalties. Of course. That sounds about right.
Well, the way they got there too was dramatic too. Like,
oh, I know. And then I went back and watched the highlights. I didn't watch the whole game.
Nah, you don't need to watch it. Well, I mean, you go ahead. You okay?
I don't know what just happened.
Hiccup?
It snuck out of me. I don't know. This could be a very interesting ride if that was a hiccup.
Yeah, It was tough, man. I mean, you go up 1-0. You're feeling good about the situation. Like, you take a lead. Max Arfston gives you a nice goal. I mean, perfect. Ball gets played to him in the box. Goes far post on it. Like, all right, good. You're up 1-0. Just kill this game off. And
yeah.
Then Red Bulls come back. A couple of them. Darlington saying that's like, I thought the ball was out of bounds. Like, again, we're doing this again.
I saw Morgan Hughes had the tweet, which is like, this is one of Columbus's birthrights, which is that we have players that think the ball went out of bounds when it in fact didn't, and we don't play to the whistle. And what's ironic is, of course, for longtime Crew fans, Darlington Nagbe was on the Portland Timbers team that benefited from one Tony Chani thinking the ball, and other players too, but Tony Chani was the one who was immediately right next to it, who thought the ball was out of bounds. Portland played on, went on to score their second goal in MLS Cup, which they won 2-0 and defeated the Crew. And that sucked. And then now this happening on the road and not an MLS Cup situation, at least. But, well, we'll never know
what
the Crew could have done.
Anyways, you give up 2 goals. You're down 2-1. Christian Ramirez, like, saves the season for you for a brief moment of time.
Mm-hmm.
You have a couple of more opportunities between that goal and the end of the game. It's just, I don't know how you label this season. Like, for me, it was a successful year, no doubt, but there is obviously the other side of that pendulum that it is very heartbreaking and you should have gotten more out of this season. Like, yeah, you won Leagues Cup. We were excited about that when it happened. Not really, because it's a made-up tournament. You went all the way through to the CONCACAF Champions Cup final. You went down to Pachuca and you got smoked in that game. You turn around a nice little mid-season. You're humming along. You're getting points at home. You're doing everything you need to do to posture yourself for the playoffs. And then in two games, man, you just kind of laid an egg.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you go to penalties, that's what happens. Like,
yeah,
sometimes the shootout gets you. Sometimes you get the shootout.
Well,
and you had three chances in a row to win.
Yeah, shootouts are not my favorite here of late. Crew have not been really good in those. I'm not a fan of how those have gone. The ultimate way I'm looking at this game and really this season is we know this team was more talented and could have done more. But there were moments this year, which I have referenced going back to that Cincinnati game. You've had it in other games that we've – the Miami game that we saw. Like, there have been moments where it's like, okay, they are better than this, but why aren't they showing it? Why are they looking a step slow? And the Champions Cup game, right? The one where they go down and why am I blanking on who
Pachuca.
They played? Pachuca, right. Yeah, you just said it. That's the one, and I saw Steve Cirk brought this up, that's the one where you say this team was playing at its highest level and then they get sick and they just look nothing like what they were supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And you wonder what would have happened if they didn't get that bout of stomach ailment going through the team. I'm more gutted about that, honestly, than I am about this. Like, in a way, because I'm just like, the way that I saw this season going as I'm watching how they played Cincinnati, how they played some of these other teams, when it got to the top tier teams in MLS this year, outside of that LAFC game where they just destroyed LAFC.
Two times.
Yeah, right. Two times. You're right. But outside of those games, they had moments where you're like, they should be better than this. They should be more competitive in this game. They just looked a step slow at times in some of those big matchups. And so my concerns were big coming into this playoff. I was hopeful that they would find a way and they would click it on. But sometimes in sports, you just can't click on the championship caliber. It's almost like you have to play that way the entire time.
Well, especially in this game too, right? I mean, this game is so funny, and we've seen it. We've all been part of a game, whether it's your favorite team or your least favorite team. Like, you have 80% of the possession, 75% of the possession, 20 shots, and nothing goes in. And it goes kind of back to the first game. Like, credit the Red Bulls.
Red Bulls said they had a strategy. They saw it out, and they believed. They believed in their strategy.
Yeah. I know it's one of the oldest cliches in sports. Like, credit the other team. But, yeah, seriously, you need to do that. Because I think in the first game, if the Crew see one of those early chances go in or one of those late chances go in and they score a goal, like, maybe the dam breaks and they're like, okay, we've still got an interest. Because you did. I mean, we talked about it last week that, like, the Crew team just felt like Red Bulls was going to yield to them. And that the Crew were going to get a goal because they're the Crew and they have the ability to do this. And it's not many times that they get shut out. And so, like, you just think that that's going to happen. And a lot of the cases, that's not the time. Like, you need to do the work and you need to put it in. And, like, you need to be able to put a good shift in to be able to get that result. And it just straight up didn't happen. Like, it just, everything magical about last year and the run that they made and getting the goal in Cincinnati and, you know, coming from behind to beat them. Like, it was just, it wasn't there at the end of the year. Wasn't there.
I think, and again, this is one of the other cliches in sports they talk about all the time, you know, that idea that a championship team, it's much harder to repeat than to win that first one, because the first one, you're chasing it. And I know that there were guys in this team like Aiden Morris who had already won one. Darlington Nagbe had been a part of the team that won one in 2020, but he was not on the field
in his
when
career,
they won that.
He has won
won plenty. Right. But those guys obviously still wanted it. So it's not like this was that team's. It wasn't like that everybody on that team had never won anything, but it's the idea that collectively they all had, you know, Wilfried Nancy, they want to win one for him. They want to win one for other guys who weren't there the last time they won. And so that is a little different than, all right, now we're the defending champs. We're getting everyone's best shot for 10 months. These are not excuses, by the way. I'm not saying, oh, well, what can you expect? That's tough to do. No, I'm pointing out that that's the difficulty of it, and the Crew were not, sadly, up to that challenge this year to defend that championship. I thought they were early in the season. I thought they clearly looked like it in the Champions Cup run that they made. I thought in Leagues Cup we were finding it again where we're like, okay, this team looks like they've got that focus, looks like they've got that eye.
I think that's the –
they got their name engraved on a trophy. As much as I think Leagues Cup sucks, like, they did go out and win something this year, which I will – it does nothing. I would trade 10 of those for another MLS Cup.
Like,
I'm not, but the fact, like, I'm frustrated because I think this team was good. I don't think they played as well in the second half of the season as they did in the first. I think some of that has to do with fatigue and whatever else you want to call it. But I still say that I don't call this season like, oh my God, they sucked.
Oh,
like,
and no.
Fire everyone. It's a disappointing result in the playoffs. But like, I've seen people already starting to question, like, does Wilfried Nancy, maybe the league's figured him out now and all this. And it's like, all right, hold on a second. I'm not there at all. I think they have to figure out how to move forward.
You picked a really bad time to have two poor performances.
Yes. I think that's true. I also think you picked a really bad time. Like, Zawadzki was out for what, a month with the fractured rib, right? Like, that's a blow when you already lost Aiden Morris to the transfer window. Like, you know how good he was. Zawadzki was kind of there, you know, some people, I don't think I'm one of these people. I don't believe I've said anything like this on the podcast. I'm trying to search my memory bank here, but I have been fairly skeptical of the idea that you can just lose an Aiden Morris and it's just like, oh, well, we got Sean Zawadzki.
Yeah, we talked about that right. When the Aiden Morris, yeah. I mean, when the transfer went through.
Right. And
it's
so,
like, yeah, as much as you can be confident in him, like, you're still.
And he played well. Like, I don't want to diminish that, but you had, let's say you believe Sean Zawadzki's as good as Aiden Morris. You had two of those guys, if that's how you feel. Mm-hmm. Now you go down to one, and then that guy gets hurt. And now you see, like, that is the thinning out a bit of this roster. Those are the things that I think it just was. It's unfortunate, right? In May, you had both those guys on your team, and you could deploy them in different ways. You could use them however you need to. Zawadzki could play other spots if he needed to. Now it's like, no, you have to use him in that role. And I think that changed the dynamic a bit for this team.
Rudy Camacho took a nosedive at the end of the year.
Boy,
I mean,
he did.
Back to that Miami game.
And guy, you know what? He has been a fantastic player.
He has.
For most of this run. He obviously had the confidence of Wilfried Nancy. That's going to be where Nancy is going to have to probably grow a bit as a manager now and say, all right, Rudy Camacho was my boy. Like, he understood me. I understood him. But I think we're getting to a point now with him where it's like, still be on the roster, still be a leader. He's probably not starting every game next year.
Yeah.
That's probably an issue you've got to address, right? You got to think about that. That's certainly a good place to look here is that, not that I want to be critical of everything and everyone. Like I said, I think this team was relatively good, but.
Well, they are. I mean, they were really good. They were a penalty shootout away from forcing a game three back here in Columbus. Like.
Yeah, I know. And you're right. And it's, I guess my frustration is they shouldn't have ever, it should have been, they shouldn't have even had to do that. You know what I mean? Like this should have been two not easy wins, but, you know, two fairly comfortable wins, and then you're on to whoever would have been next.
I think the most disappointing part to me, as you were talking about the Champions Cup, like, you were playing great ball. You go down to Pachuca, like, that, whatever, weird things happen.
Yeah,
like, you go down there, and you weren't the same team. We saw that in the final.
Beastie Boys sabotage, yeah, that's what it's worth. I'm going to say it.
I was so disappointed because the team got itself ready, and as much as we demise the League's Cup, like, as much as we don't like that,
yeah,
I mean, the crew treated that like a straight up, like, you know, like, oh, that was the playoffs.
Yeah, that's what I'm
so you
right.
And I can have our thoughts about it. They obviously treated it like a big tournament. Well, any cup that you're in, you want to do that. And so, yeah, that's why I'm so disappointed, because they played like that a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
And then you turn around like this and just bow out of the playoffs. That's why I'm disappointed.
And then certainly that's worth questioning too, right? Like, I said, I can acknowledge that the season, I think, was, and I know some crew fans don't want to hear this, I think overall this season was still a success in the sense that you added hardware to the growing list of things that the league counts as hardware. But you added one of those to the trophy case that, like I said, I'd trade 10 of those for one more MLS Cup or Supporters Shield or anything like that. But on the flip side of that, as much as I'm calling that successful, we said at the time, you and I both said, I don't mind if they just kick the ball around for 90 minutes, let someone score on them and bounce out of League's Cup in the first week, and then just take a nice extended break in the summer, get some 2 weeks of just R&R, get everybody healthy, get your mind right, and then you hit the ground running as soon as that League's Cup's over and you start destroying people. That's kind of where I wanted to see it go, because then it almost felt like in some ways they – Wilfried Nancy has this, I mean, it's his endearing quality, right? Impossible is an opinion. Mm-hmm. Most of us would have said before the season, it is impossible to put all your focus on being the best team you can in the league, being the best Champions Cup team being in League's Cup and winning that and then making a huge playoff run, at some point you are going to grind yourself out and run yourself into a point where you're just not as sharp, not as focused, every game being so big all the time.
Especially the way that they play too, because I mean they flirt with danger all the time.
Yeah, like I mean you have to be the sharpest team out there, and if you round off the edge a little bit on that team, mistakes happen and look how it goes. Mm-hmm. That's certainly what's happened in multiple games here down the stretch. So I think there is something to be said to discussing that approach. Not that I don't ever want to tell Wilfried Nancy not to be a dreamer, right? Yeah. I don't ever want to do that.
Have fun with that conversation.
You know what? I look at him as, honestly, like last year, if you're a sports fan, and again, neighbor Eric, I'm sorry, you may not get this reference, Shohei Ohtani. Remember when that dude came to Major League Baseball as a pitcher and hitter, and people were like, well, buddy, you're going to have to learn to pick one of those, because no way you can be a Cy Young pitcher and like a record-setting hitter. You have to pick one. And it's like, well, this year he stole 50 bases and hit 50 home runs. And then in multiple other years when he was pitching, because this year he was hurt, couldn't pitch, but he could still hit, he was like the best pitcher in Major League Baseball, and he probably will be again next year. Don't tell that guy you can't do something. He can overcome it. He's just that good. There are sometimes people who are that good in a sport, and I like that Wilfried Nancy was one of those people in MLS who said, who says you can't go win all the trophies?
Why not?
Let's try it. But this is the reason that the haters and the doubters throw that stuff out there, is because it is really tough to do that. And maybe, and again, I'm not, trust me, I'm not pining for the days of the guy I'm about to mention here, but in the Caleb Porter era, you didn't have to be as sharp to play that system.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You had to, that is a,
batten down the hatches, boys.
Yeah. You just, I mean, you have to withstand, you have to be defensively sound,
very pragmatic,
but you are not taking the risk that you take with Wilfried Nancy's approach. And I would much rather take the risks. I would much rather reap the rewards that that system probably gets you. And next year, I hope Nancy doesn't lose that at all, but it will probably be something to consider next year with Champions Cup. Like
if he's here,
well, that's I mean, again, we have this offseason now to look at too, but let's just presume for the sake of this discussion,
just sign a contract extension a couple months ago.
Let's presume that everyone's going to be here. Let's just live in that world for a second.
Okay.
If I'm him next year, and if I'm Issa Tall, I sit down with him and I say, and Cucho, another one we'll talk about in a moment, but I look at him and I say, hey man, you got this League's Cup is coming up. Maybe they win Champions Cup this year, right? Because they're back in it. They already, by winning League's Cup, or by being finalists, they already are in Champions Cup next year, I believe.
They're already qualified.
Yeah, they're already in, yeah. So they're going to play that again next year. You got to think about, how do I manage that, right? Do I want to go, okay, you're going to go balls to the wall for that and kind of throw the league record out the window? Fine. Well, what are you going to do when it comes to League's Cup? All right, maybe we don't put our eggs in all that. Maybe we just run out of backup
lineup. Maybe we play in U.S. Open Cup instead.
Yeah, maybe that's a thing. I don't know. We don't even know where that stands. What if that's added to the mix too? Yeah. At some point, I think it might be sensible to pick two of the four or five goals that are out there and just really aim for those.
One of them being MLS Cup playoffs.
Yeah, right. That's, to me, the one that you have to have the most, like nothing should come before that. That's why I like putting all your eggs in the Champions Cup basket, because if you don't get that done, you've got all summer long to get reinforcements and to get rested up and figure it out. League's Cup can just go to hell. And then in September, you hit the ground running and you build towards this and you get everyone rolling by the time you hit October. But again, that's compromising how Wilfried Nancy conducts his business, right? I mean, he wouldn't be the same guy if he was like, I'm sure he tells those guys, like, I don't want you to moderate. I don't want you to throttle back. I want you to
full go.
We're have your dreams and go for them and do that thing. So I don't know. It's a really tough call. Now that offseason stuff is buddy. Your priorities have to be this offseason. And again, I hate to do this already. I feel like we're just anyway, turn the page. I'm not turning the page. This
hold
sucks.
On. Before we do the offseason,
it's fine.
Before we do the offseason talk.
Yeah.
Will someone learn how to take a penalty?
Jeez.
I mean,
well, that's what I said. You know, this team is horrible at penalties.
Patrick Schulte made the big save. It's like, yes, that's great. But you can't rely on him to save multiple, which he did.
Yeah.
He saved two of them, two out of the six.
And you have defenders taking penalty kicks. I just, I don't know. Not always a fan. I don't mean to put on any one person, right? But I'm not a fan of that. I also would like someone to learn how to take a, like, corner kick more often. Like, how many times you see it just not even clear the first defender this year? That is a problem this team had, right?
Now, they got it when they needed it the most. Like, Christian Ramirez did score right off the corner.
I know. But, like,
but that's because it got over the first defender.
But in general, how many times do we just see that even turn into a, like, who cares? They're getting corner kicks out of this, you know? It just...
Yeah.
And that's the thing, that their work rate and the way they pressure other teams' defenses makes them earn corner kicks, and then they would go and just half the time. Like, if they had that corner kick thing down more, I feel like they generated a ton of goals. They set, like, records for the goal differential and points that, I mean, points as far as wins and losses, the points they amassed.
That's
this
why
year.
It was a good season.
Yes, it's a tremendous season. I'm not trying to, but we're talking about nitpicking here because this team didn't get the ultimate goal done, and it's not like they had it happen in MLS Cup and they just played as excellent as you can and LAFC or LA Galaxy or someone out west was just slightly better that day. No, I mean, you played two games against New York and you can say that New York had the better approach to the game and they executed their, they both had different approaches, but New York executed their plan better than the Crew did.
Yeah.
Flat out. And then of course, penalty kicks are penalty kicks. You're kind of at the mercy of how that goes.
Yeah. You live and die by the sword when you get to penalty kicks, but you also can't kick them directly in the like middle portion, try to get to the corner of the goal.
No. It's almost like you have to.
You got to get them to the corners or kick it right down the middle.
Yeah, but then you have to blast it. So the guy almost has to like dive out of the way.
Yeah, I know.
You got to.
But you
take
can't
his head
just drip. You can't dribble it low left or low right, like middle left or right of the goal.
And
like,
it just sucks because that's just not, there's no confidence there. Like, the best penalty kick takers, it's even if they hit it to the side, the goalie ends up picking. It's like there's no doubt that it's going to that very far post. It's going to clear it by an inch.
Like Kuchos.
And it's zooming.
Look at Kuchos. Like he blasted that thing, and it hit the inside of the post and bounced in.
Yeah.
Like, that's living dangerously, but that's also what a top-class penalty kick taker does.
But if you hit it there, no one's ever getting it.
Yeah.
No one is stopping that. And it's just... If you don't have confidence in what you're doing, if you're trying to be cute, if you're trying to like last minute, like, oh, the keeper is moving this way at the right as I'm landing with my plant foot, I'm going to decide which way I'm going to kick it. It's like, no, you have to have that before you even set the ball down. You just have to be like, I'm going right. Like if this guy goes that way, I'm going to hit it so hard up the upper 90, he's not going to get to it.
Yeah.
End of story. Like easier said than done for me. Right. But pressure comes into play and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But that's the type of thing that these are professional soccer players that should be able to bury penalty kicks.
Yeah, know that.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen the best in the world fail at it, right?
Countless times.
Yeah. So there's a lot to be questioned about this offseason. There's a lot of unpacking to do with the season. I clearly understand that most of you are like, I'm not ready to even think about the offseason, but my summary is thus. I don't care what Monterrey wants to pay him. I don't care if Manchester City comes calling. You need to back up the Brinks truck for Cucho.
Yep.
And go there. That's, and then, I mean,
first
1A
and,
is,
first and foremost, that's it.
And then 1A is making sure you have Wilfried Nancy here too, I believe. I mean, I hope that's not something where he's leaving, but if that's even a chance,
Was it Nice that was interested in his services?
It wouldn't surprise me if a French club is looking at him,
obviously. We talked
about
that. I mean,
it would make a lot of sense.
This year at some point, right?
Yeah. And I'm quite sure his style would be something that would play very well as far as to a team that doesn't have the budgetary, amounts that other teams in Europe have to get, I think he's a perfect fit for a team like that to be able to say, why can't we compete? Why can't we do more? Cause that inspiration to help his players, see what they're capable of. And then obviously getting the right players to execute that system. I do think there are certainly questions as well for the offseason with Issa Tall, not because I don't think he's competent or capable or anything like that, but because this is just the first offseason where it's been his show, not just Tim Bezpachenko. I forget who the other guy was.
He left for LA, didn't he?
Yeah. Was it Neil McGinnis or something? Does that sound right?
I
feel like one of the other guys who've been in the front office, he's gone too, so
he took over the GM role at LA, right?
I believe you're right. Yeah. I mean, this has been known, right? That this front office with the Crew was so well put together that there would be multiple GM candidates coming out of it. And Issa Tall would probably be GM of another team if it wasn't for Bez leaving to take a bigger role, with why am I blanking on who
Bournemouth.
It was?
Bournemouth, Black Knight Sports Group.
Bournemouth, the Black Knight Sports Group, the group that owns the Golden Knights in Vegas, the hockey club, among other things. So I know that he has got the pedigree and the talent to do it. He's obviously learned from Bez. He you know, has worked with him for a long time. But this is going to be a challenge for him because it's not as if you just have to add a few pieces. If you keep Cucho, then yes, you have to add a few pieces, sure. But if Cucho's gone, if you can't keep him, if he just says, hey, man, I've enjoyed it, but I'm ready for another challenge, mm-hmm. and there's not an amount of money that the Haslams are willing to put forward that's going to keep me here, then I, you know, again, I'm not saying that's what's happening, but there could be a chance Cucho's gone.
Yeah.
And then you have to figure that out. You, there's a chance.
That'd be the worst day of my life. One of them.
Okay. You were alive for 9/11, right? I just want to point
out. Bone. Worse.
How old were you during 9/11?
I was 9 years old.
Okay, there you go. All right.
It was actually.
That's fine.
The like first world event that I like remember. You know when you like come to as a person and then you start remembering things? It's like, I don't really remember anything before this, but that's like the big first like world news event.
I can understand that.
That happened where I'm like, I remember everything about that day.
I have had the realization because I was watching some college basketball and I'm like, wow, this player's good. This player's good. I'm looking up like, when are they born? How old? And again, you're like
2005.
Well, you're like, yeah, you're realizing that 18 and 19 year old players are born in 2005, 2006. And you're suddenly going, oh, wow, they weren't actually alive for like things like 9/11. They weren't. Oh, okay.
Y2K.
No, not a thing they would ever know about. They've never lived in a world without an internet.
Y3K. Wouldn't the even next know thing what that is for them.
Yeah, I'm just saying, we're getting old. But, yeah, so beyond those type of days, you're right. If Cucho leaves, it will be that level of beyond the world historic significance days. It will be one of the worst sports days you could ever have.
Yeah, it'd be bad. I was torn up when Lucas left. I'll be double that if Cucho leaves.
Oh, man, yeah. And, again, this is a minor point.
Like, we probably saw Christian Ramirez play his last game with the Crew.
There's that, too. Right. I mean, it's that's such a weird one with him because – he works really well in that Rossi, Cucho triumvirate. If either of those guys aren't back, obviously, I don't think it makes sense for Ramirez to be back. I think
I love that guy too, and I know that when he got added, you and I were just like, I don't know what that brings to you. I don't know what that brings to you. That's a dumb move.
Yeah,
and he made us eat our words, and I couldn't been happier. I absolutely love that guy, and he's got a Crew crest tattooed on him.
Well,
because they won the cup last year. Oh, and he okay, got it. Yeah. I mean, that guy is awesome.
Yeah, he is an unbelievable, like, representative for the city.
Darlington's, you know, another year older. Like,
yeah, I mean, there's that aspect, too, where it's nothing against him. It's just that's part of the...
He's logged a lot of minutes.
Yeah.
He gets fouled a lot.
And he's a tremendous player. What I would worry about with him next year would be not that he is, like, going to... I'm trying to say this. How am I trying to phrase this? Like, I don't think he's going to, like, wuss out of a game or anything. What I'm saying is you take so many fouls, and as your body gets older, it's just like, yeah, you suddenly are limited, you know? And I think I'm guessing there are a lot of times where we've seen Darlington get a knock that probably keeps another player out. He's just so good and so tough and does everything he can for this club that he plays through it. And he, a lot of times, is so talented and still so smart on the ball that you don't notice that he's actually a step slow on this game or in a couple games because of the knock that he's taking, he's playing through. And he's so good that you don't really see it. But that can't last forever. There's going to come a point where, like, he's going to amass enough of those, like you said, and then over a season, maybe you don't recover as quickly. Maybe game to game, you're a little, now you're not just a step slower, but you can still outsmart everybody else. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's honestly what happened with Rudy. I think Rudy was at that point in his career where he started to hit the wall where you're like, okay, yeah, you are slower than everybody, but that's all right. You make up for it with positioning. And then if you get a knock, if you're not yourself, if you're not right, then all of a sudden now you've got to be, oh, now I've committed a bad foul in a bad area. Oh, I've got a yellow. I got to deal with the whole game. Mm-hmm. Those are the things that I would worry about next year, the year after with Darlington. Like, at some point that catches up with all these guys.
I mean, Rudy's going to be 34 in March and Darlington's going to be 35 in July.
Like, it's crazy that he's older than Rudy, but like he doesn't play like it.
No.
But
and he's been really good for a long time and he's still tremendous.
Yeah. Well, and this, what I was going to say earlier, this is not the problem that I'm sure most Crew fans are most annoyed with right now, but something to keep in the back of the mind is like The Crew need to get off their ass and figure out what they're doing with their wall of honor, whatever they've decided to call their circle or ring of honor. Like, you have three people in that thing. Mm-hmm. You, like, Lucas should be in it. I think you probably at some point have to put, you have to consider putting in Higuain. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Then you've still got guys like Chad Marshall that would make a ton of sense. I mean, I think Chad Marshall has an award named after him, if I'm not mistaken, in MLS. If he doesn't, he should. But, like, you know, these are, you have guys that should be up there and on that wall and in that honoree level. And now you've got.
Who are the three guys?
It's Frankie, it's Guillermo, and I believe it's Siggy Schmid.
Okay.
Are the like coach and two players, I want to say, are the only people in it. I could be wrong on that.
No Brian McBride?
Oh, wait, no, sorry. McBride is, maybe Guillermo is two. Now maybe there's four, I don't know. But the point is, there's a lot of guys. There's a lot of people who deserve to be in that thing because you've won a lot of trophies. That needs to be highlighted. And I'm just saying, now thinking about like, oh, what if Kucho's played his last game?
Right.
Well, then... they're going to have to, you know, he's another guy that you'd have to have there eventually. But, like, Zellerion's a guy that should be in there. You kind of start going through the list of players, and you're like, oh, man, there's probably guys like, you know, go back to even guys like Mike Clark, and there's tons of players I feel like that would be eligible for that that just aren't there yet. Like, this needs to happen. Again, not a problem we're most concerned about right now, but, yeah, see if you can find who's actually in it. Because I thought it was just like three players and maybe Siggy Schmidt.
The last one that I have, while they're on the field or to the sidelines, yada, 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 whatever, created in 2011 with the induction of Brian McBride. The Circle of Honor serves as the club's highest honor, pays homage solely to its most iconic players. Only McBride and Frankie Hajduk were on the list. And then Siggy Schmidt got inducted in 2019.
Yes. And then that's it.
That's the three. So
okay, so Guijé's not even in it. So Guillermo Barros-Skelotto needs to be in that. He's in Boca Juniors Hall of Fame. I'm just saying. He's in that one. So I think he deserves to be in the
Crew. We're waiting to see if he got the nod from Boca first. See if he was
He
good
literally has
us.
A statue next to, I don't know, Diego Maradona, among others. I think, I don't know. I feel like he could probably be in ours. So, yeah, I'm just... that's, again, a minor thing, but, like, I don't even want to think about that, honestly. I don't want to think about Kucho not being here, but that's just something that's been bugging me every time I go by it. And
Darlington
I'm like,
is, like, he's on the list.
Yeah, Darlington is another, like we were just talking about. Like, there's guys that are going to need to be in there that we're not even touching the – we haven't even got through the 08 team. There's still plenty of guys from that team, like I just said. So, again, minor point, but – next year, every weekend, there should be an honoree. Let's fill this thing up. Let's go. And maybe don't put it on the outside of the stadium next to, like, a hot dog stand. Maybe put it a little more prominently.
Yeah, put it right on, like, the south end of, well, I was going to say the south end of the Nordic, but that wouldn't make any sense. Well, the south side opposite of the Nordic, like, right by the plaza. Yeah. Wherever. Put it in the plaza.
Yeah.
You it's know right what? There. There's a big open space. Put it in there.
Yes. Actually, you've got all that big courtyard area.
Yes.
Put some statues out there. Let's go. Like,
fine.
Yeah, let's do it. So whatever, I don't know. I'm bummed. This sucks. I don't really know how to process it. I mean, like, the way I tend to process things is to look forward, you know,
because I'm the same way.
I don't tend to want to linger with it and just kick rocks and just be like, man, ugh, and then just like, I do that from time to time, but it takes me about 24 to 48 hours after like a sports loss or even, you know, things in life where I just tend to go like, all right, well, what are we going to do now? Like, what's the plan? What's the, you know, that was why when I went, and I remember this very vividly, obviously not the same level here, right? But when we went to Save the Crew, we went to the bar where we didn't know we were going there to save the crew. We went there to have a little commiseration of, can you believe, this was the day after Grant Wall's famous tweet, and we're walking around the bar, just, you know, there was a lot of people just not knowing what to do, kind of in tears. Morgan Hughes was the guy, and not the only one, but I'm sure he was the one I saw that was the guy going like, we're going to do something about this. We're not going to sit around. And obviously we know how that went. But that is one of those moments where I said, yeah, I much prefer being in that energy for something when there's something bad happening. How do we start to rebuild it, fix it, whatever, as opposed to sitting around going, no, I just want to be miserable. I don't really want to think about how to fix it. So, if that's not where you are, that's okay on this thing, right? I want to see this thing turn and get better. I do think the way it gets better is you have to get a little younger defensively. I think you have to start looking for your next you know, selections that are going to come up and replace guys like Darlington. Mm-hmm. And then you have to keep Cucho Hernandez here. If you don't, then you have a much bigger project on your hands. So that's, to me, those are the big keys for this offseason.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And I also think, I was going to say more importantly than Cucho. That's obviously, I think, number one for both of us, him and Wilfried Nancy. I think we can,
we can
all agree, like, those are the two guys that.
Presumably he'll be here too, but you're right. Yeah.
Like, those are the two guys you got to keep here in Columbus. If you don't, it's an entirely different story. Then we're talking about a whole different offseason.
Yeah.
Right. But to me, it's the midfield. Like, it's the midfield, and let DeJuan Jones and Max Arfson have, like, open competition for that left side.
Yeah, man. I feel like that never really went the way I thought it would, which was, I think I kind of presumed that one of them would, you know, just, I don't know, take over that role. And I mean, I guess that does, Nancy likes to have a lot of competition, guys mm-hmm. fighting for the spot, but I don't think either of them really got comfortable with their roles. I think Arfston kind of felt like maybe he was going to be the guy, and then they bring in DeJuan Jones. I don't know if that undercut him a little bit or affected him in some way. But then DeJuan Jones is a guy who I thought has, you know, he has been a clear number one starter, and now he's coming off the bench a lot, not starting as often, and I don't think he ever got fully adjusted to that either.
Yeah.
So I think there's got to be some sorting out of that.
I thought that was going to be the Julian Gressel piece from last year.
Yeah, I did too. I thought he would add in, and I thought actually be more significant than Julian Gressel in that way. Like, I think, and I still think he can be. I think he's a very good piece for this team. It's just now you got to determine how you want to play all that. And, look, there's going to be interest, too, not just from Cucho and Diego Rossi. There's going to be teams looking at Max Arfston and saying, well, why can't we have him over here in Europe? Or why can't we have him, you know? And
Patrick Schulte, another guy.
Schulte's another one, yeah. I mean, so there will be roster change. And I think we've talked, I guess the way I would put a bow on this episode is, and this is why I don't think I'm as disappointed as I probably would have or should have been. And that is that we were talking in the start of the season, like, during Champions Cup, we're like, folks, I don't know how long this is going to last. Like, this is too good.
We were telling you to enjoy it.
Yeah, like savor it. Enjoy it. Because you just, and I honestly thought over the summer might be when you see some of these guys move. And we did see Aiden Morris leave.
Yep.
But I didn't know if it would also be like Cucho might get moved. I didn't know. But obviously he stuck it out. The goal was to try to go back and defend MLS Cup. Now that's over.
Mm-hmm.
And now.
Long road back to the mountaintop.
Well, right. You're going to start next year not as the defending champs. Is Cucho up for that challenge? Not, again, he's up for anything.
Yeah.
I'm saying, is he looking at that as going, I want to start over and have another five-year run here in Columbus, and this is where I pretty much play the rest of my meaningful years of my career? Mm-hmm. Or does he say, I want to go back and prove what I can do in England? I'm in the prime. I want to go show him I can do that. Or in Mexico or wherever he wants to go.
Yeah.
Like, that is a real thing that I think exists because I think the pull for him to stay this summer would have been finish the job, go back and get that second trophy, show that it wasn't a fluke. We know that. They're a very good team. But now that's ended. So that motivation, that little intangible part of it for him is now out the door. Does the pull of Columbus keep him here? Does the money come from the Haslams? Or does some team drop $25 million on the table and say, beat that? And the Haslams say, we can't. We paid $10 million for this guy. Mm-hmm. We're going to take those profits, and we're going to go get two Cuchos or try to. I don't know. I'm interested to see how this all goes. But that's why I'm saying I'm not as bummed about it, I guess, in part because as much as it's frustrating, I knew it. You know these things can't last.
Yeah.
As good as they were playing, you know it can't last. But I also, because of the way this franchise has been throughout my 20-plus years of watching it, I also know that they will be right back to playing good enough to be a competitive team that could have a chance, if everything falls right, to be one of the top three or four teams in MLS. That's the best you can ask for in any sport.
Yeah, the bulk of this roster is not going away. Like,
right. And I have confidence in the leadership here. I have confidence in that they're going to figure it out just like they did after Caleb Porter's mm-hmm. era ended, just like they did after, you know, Greg's era ended. I mean, the last time you really saw this team take a nosedive for a significant amount of time was when Robert Varzeja was the coach after Siggy Schmid left. And that is an era where they won a supporter shield. Like, they still did win stuff. They just couldn't really keep that aging group of players together. And it took them 3 or 4 years to recover from it. And then Berhalter came in, kind of got them back on the right track.
And it's not like that right now. No,
no.
Over there.
No, of course not. It's a very different thing. I'm saying, like, but that's how long it's been. It's been over 10 years since this team wasn't a year-in, year-out competitive, should be making the playoffs. We know the 2 years. I know with Porter.
Yeah.
I'm saying, though, like, that was a team that won MLS Cup and then had that happen.
Yeah.
So you get a few years of grace for that. This is,
and he did.
Right. And then it was done. And then they moved on from him and
won another MLS Cup.
And won an MLS Cup. So like, that's where I'm saying that if it doesn't work out and if people leave, I have confidence that the next person that they get will be someone who gets this team right back in the top four and has them competing for an MLS Cup. Maybe that's misplaced, but that's where I'm at right now.
I don't think that's the wrong place to be.
Yeah. So
I don't think that's wrong at all. I think that's a nice message to Crew fans.
All right. Well, at least we gave them that.
Yeah. At least we got that to look forward to, which is nice.
Yeah, that's great. We will be back next week to regularly scheduled podcasting.
Full breakdown of MLS Cup playoffs coming next week.
Let me tell you about something that I am avoiding like the plague. Dude, if I
won't watch another second.
Yeah.
Just won't watch another second of it.
See you later. Have fun. You know what? Doesn't matter. They don't care. They got all their messy viewers.
Go ahead.
Go watch him do it. Go watch him get his stupid trophies. We'll talk about he's the greatest player that's ever lived in MLS, which he is arguably the greatest player that's ever lived. It's just, I don't need to see it. I don't need to see it. The only thing that would get me to watch
Houston Dynamo.
Yeah, if I'm flipping around and I get on Twitter and I see in the 90th minute they're down 2-0, I might flip over.
When did
just,
you become such a hater?
It's
Messi's
not of,
your guy.
It's not of Messi. It's not of him.
I
don't hate Messi.
I know.
I hate
it's the pomp and circumstance. It's the pomp and circumstance.
I hate how the league has just given it all over to this guy, and I hope their little experiment fails. That's the only reason I will tune into an MLS Cup game or MLS playoff game is if I find out they are absolutely losing, and I can watch the final 5
conference
minutes.
Finals. They're down 2-0 against Red Bulls. Go Red Bulls.
Go Red Bulls. Sure, then I'm voting for that. Yes, I'll take that in a heartbeat.
Me and Christian Horner will be watching very closely.
Perfect.
Jurgen Klopp, he'd be buffed about it. We got clopped. He took over for the Red Bulls International.
No shame in
we
losing.
We got clopped.
No shame in losing to Klopp. You know
all
what I mean?
All the Liverpool supporters are super happy right now.
We basically lost to Jurgen Klopp. That's what I'm going to say. You know what? So Wilfried Nancy, you lost to Jurgen Klopp.
It was close.
No shame in that. No shame in that. All right, we'll be back next week. Go Crew forever. And thanks for listening to Bone and Bean United.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.